Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Speaking with Andrew Haythorpe and Adam Jones this morning from ECR. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew.
Look, good to see you both. Adam, firstly, let's get straight into it. Some news out this week here from Creswick. Some nice looking high grade gold and rock chips. Tell us a little bit about where you got them from and what the significance of them are.
So the rock chips, the first lot, referring to the announcement, was Spring Hill Adit, as we call it. It's actually on the it's on the Brewery Lane property itself. It's partly open enough to get in there, have a look. The veins are in situ, which means that, you know, they're still in the walls, unmined in places. So the idea was to get into such places and, you know, have a look at the geology, get some idea what the background values are left in the veins. And the results are there, that there is some high grade sitting around. It's the same thing with the Mills Reef at it. We talked about in the RNS. That's located about 4 kilometres to the south of Brewery Lane. And that is at, on our newly acquired tenement, 6713.
Andrew, what's your thoughts on these results?
Well, I think Creswick is kind of uprated, so to speak, with, well, two main events in the last few months, literally. One was the resampling program that we announced last year, where the resampling gave us consistently better grades and significantly better continuity of grades, you know, with the resampling approach that we used on previous drilling and work that had been done at Creswick. So uprating the existing data set. And then more recently, of course, as per the other day, the announcement and confirmation where Adam went in and mapped and sampled the adit, which gives you access, you know, literally underground into the vein system there, one of the vein systems at Creswick. And it's certainly, I think, a fair to understatement to say that it's confirmed some very nice grades in those vein sets that are still sitting there unmined. So when you see that sort of material and you have a good feeling for what's happening, at least in three dimensions, and therefore you can drill target with confidence, and then also not just drill target with confidence, but then you have, let's say, the metallurgical knowledge where the sampling can be done in a manner that gives you the best possible outcome in terms of reporting true results of true grades. You know, these sort of grades, it could actually be a significant value asset for the company, and certainly for a small company the size of ECR to have a small, very high grade vein type mining opportunity. That is a real opportunity for the company that we do need to pursue with the drill rig as soon as we can get the rig on site.
Andrew, there's been suggestions in the past around potential JV opportunities at Creswick. What are you aware of?
Well, since my tenure at least, there hasn't been a JV conversation with anyone, not for lack of interest. It's just I know that there's been a lot of chatter on the online sites about JVs, and it has been mentioned previously in previous years by a previous CEO. But we've had no such sort of approaches or conversation. And look, I would say that that's quite logical too. I think 4 or 5 years ago, there was a real sort of gold in Victoria boom that captured the hearts and minds of investors and mining companies alike. And there was a lot of corporate action. But over the last 5 years, I think it's been a fairly continuous and significant cooling process. And out of that 5-year period, of course, we had a good chunk of that lost with COVID and travel restrictions, and people simply could be as interested as they like, but they weren't able to travel in or out of Melbourne with lockdowns and so on. So, you know, there's been a chunk of time where that interest has cooled off, for want of a better term. So on the JV front, I'm not at all concerned. I mean, it's in my view, you want to drill it first and have a good handle on what the future value of the asset is before you start talking to joint venture partners, even if you wanted to initiate. And then once you've got a sense of the reasonable value and the ability for the company to deliver the value as 100% owner-operator, that's the first priority. Second priority is a JV partner going to enhance that position? Yes or no? We'll see in due course.
And Adam, in terms of moving Creswick forward, what are the next steps? What are the plans?
About 2 to 2.5 weeks, we expect to demobilise the rig and have it down there at Creswick on the Brewery Lane property. Our first target is going to be drilling diamond holes up to follow up the RC drilling from 2019. you know, we've got RC drilling there, but there's no diamond drilling there. So we want to just get a handle on some of the geological structures. You know, we know there's some really substantial grades there. I think some of them are, you know, 1 meter, 50 grams plus in some of them. So it's there, and it's easily accessible to drill. It's on our own property. So permitting issues, no problem there. So that's going to be our first target. And then whilst we're there, we'll go to, just on the east side of the property there where we've got the Spring Hill Adit or Spring Hill Reef, as we've been, where we've been taking rock chips from. And we'll just do some initial holes into that just to see, you know, see if there's any continuity in grades and just see, you know, what that that quartz vein's all about. Yeah, from there, as the drilling is going on, we're committed to extend the geochemistry, soil sampling, rock chips further south on the same trends as we're drilling, on the same reef lines further south towards Ballarat. And that's just going to be continuing on over the next few months, and we'll be releasing, you know, updating the shareholders on all that sort of news as it comes out. We've got four or five main prospects to start off with going south, and that's what we'll be focusing on.
Andrew, Adam mentioned Blue Moon there. Of course, it's the nature of exploration, but some of these more exploratory step-out holes didn't come back quite as encouraging as we'd initially hoped for. What was your take on these?
Again, mineralised, so encouraging to that level. However, yes, the grades were lower than what we were hoping for because we have seen some excellent widths and grades from previous drilling. And of course, when you're exploring, you're always hoping for the best. It's the optimism that drives you to commit the energy and the funds to explore. So we've had a couple of holes came through where the assay returns were lower than what we were hoping for. We've still got a couple more drill holes in assay lab, and we'll wait and see what the assay lab has to say, but at least a couple of holes do look very encouraging, and we'll just have to see what the numbers return at.
Mm. And Adam, is the drill program at Blue Moon, is that complete now?
We're about 1.5 holes to the end, so to speak. They're, you know, they're not very deep holes, 110 meter holes. And it's just a follow up on the high grade zone from the RC drilling, just to close it off, or, you know, we'll see if it expands any bigger than we think. Mm. So in due course, once we get the results back from the lab, we'll release that and see how it goes.
And speaking of which, what's the story with the labs currently, Adam? You've had some conversations. What are they telling you around turnaround expectations?
So Andrew, for drill core rock chips, that sort of those sort of type of samples, we use a laboratory in Ballarat, and specifically why we do that is because they're very good on the, you know, the nugget effect, the way they sample it, you know, bulk samples. So that's why we prefer to use them. As currently the situation is, it's probably two and a half weeks turnaround, I think, for about 100 samples, 150 samples. So those rock chips, they went into the lab sort of mid-January. So mid-January to 20th, you know, so two and a half weeks sort of turnaround as expected. Just around Christmas time, it was a little bit earlier, but, you know, a lot of other exploration companies are just starting up because of the summer here in Victoria. So just a little bit more pressure on the lab there. But, yeah, two and a half weeks is sort of the average we're expecting.
Adam, are you giving some early thinking, early thoughts as far as exploratory work on the Tambo license now?
I was just having a discussion yesterday with one of the other colleagues, and she's doing a very good job on there's been a lot of historic, you know, exploration work done there in the past, a lot of base metals and a bit of gold. So she's been compiling all that sort of old data because it's all on paper pretty much. There's no really digital database, so to speak, we can use. So she's been doing a bit of community work over there and really just prepping up to get some boots on ground there. Hoping this year to just do some initial, you know, soil or stream sediment sampling. There's already been some prospects already identified to follow up on. Go through that with the colleague and we'll see how it goes, and looking forward to it.
And a bit further north, Adam, in Queensland at Lulworth, looking very interesting, starting to take shape there with more gold, lithium, tantalum, niobium samples identified. This from stream sampling. Give us a bit of an update as to what you're seeing here.
Yeah, so we've still got, we're still waiting on just the last of the stream sediment program we completed there just prior to Christmas. As we've been saying before, it's the wet season, it's in the tropics up there, so there's no on boots on ground until the rain finishes, which is, you know, probably after April. But a very encouraging thing is that the amount of work we've done in such a short time is just extraordinary, and we're already seeing literally pinpointing to, you know, the gold anomalies, but also, you know, lithium, tantalum, niobium, and that's quite exciting. And I think that the biggest encouragement talking to with Andrew Haythorpe was, you know, with the niobium and tantalum, you know, we're like a 10-kilometer along strike, you know, anomaly from the drainage system going north. So I'm really looking forward to actually, you know, pinpointing that this year.
Well, Andrew, your eyes light up when talking about Queensland and Lolworth in particular. how do you see things developing here near term, and what are your plans?
Well, that Lolworth area is extremely encouraging with the geology, you know, and that's just the history and the knowledge of the geological sort of environment to that part of the world in North Queensland. I have said before, and it's a true statement, but it is, we would call it elephant country, where you've got, you know, substantial gold discoveries, including Kidston, Mount Lation, Pajingo, Vera Nancy, you know, some terrific gold discoveries in the last 40 years in the area. And Lolworth, to my knowledge, is relatively or extremely underexplored, you know, by virtue of the history of just this particular part of North Queensland, which is what we own 100% of. And then, as you've just touched on with Adam, just looking through the stream set anomalies that are being plotted up as the assays have come back from the lab over the last month or two, 10 kilometres of, you know, ridgeline effectively clearly shedding, you know, tantalum, niobium, which is, you know, they're valuable minerals in their own right. And then that ridgeline in that area sits just to the immediate north of two significant lithium anomalies, which, you know, again, that's all sort of part of the geological association. And combined, you're sort of talking a 10, 20 kilometre type strip of ground about which, to our knowledge, no one's ever really walked it or mapped it or sampled it. So fantastic opportunity there. So, and back on the main focus, which is what drew us there in the first place, is the gold is, you know, again, extraordinary amounts of gold being found and reported in the stream set work. And, you know, we've got multiple creeks and multiple areas to follow up to find the sources, you know, I think sources plural of potentially not just one, but more than one, you know, gold discovery. And hopefully all we need is one of those to be the tip of the iceberg with a million ounce type discovery. And that's really a company building asset. So, yeah, we're looking at substantial anomalism in several commodities. And of course, you could do worse than find something significant in the lithium space in this particular point in history and share market valuation wise. So as a member of the team, very enthusiastic to see us resolve what those targets are, identify them, locate them, of course, map and sample them, and in due course, drill them when we can. As appropriate, or with the view of, you know, finding an economic and a significant discovery for the company.
And of course, we'll need to get some boots on the ground at Hurricane this year.
Totally. So we have that sort of project sort of moving along quietly in the background as well, just with permitting and approvals, etc. We're very satisfied with the due diligence we've seen so far. And, you know, part of the management team exercise, which we're just finalising and fine-tuning now, is ranking the Hurricane vein targets against what we have in Victoria. Because, of course, gold veins don't know where they're located. They're just located in the ground. So it's for us to rank them and prioritise them according to prospectivity, potential value to the company. And then, of course, you know, timing-wise, land access, et cetera, in terms of resolving and drilling those targets. So, you know, the company's in a great position. We've got such a great inventory of great ground, clearly demonstrated, in my view, great ground, even from these stream set anomalies that we've turned up recently at Lolworth. great ground with Hurricane, with multiple veins to drill, with clear indications of potentially commercial gold at surface that they need to be drilled. And, you know, back to Creswick in Victoria. So between all of that, the prospects for the company, I think, are excellent over the next two-year period.
Just on the drilling front, Andrew, what's your understanding as to the arrival of the second rig and your plans?
Well, the second rig's nearly here. We've been advised, I think it's arriving at Melbourne Port. I think it's next week was the latest advice we've received. And then once we've got the rig, you know, you've got to go through clear customs and et cetera, the usual sort of procedures. And then, you know, the rig needs to be fitted out and equipped appropriately for the tasks that we have in mind for it this year. So just steady progress as that moves forwards.
Well, you're clearly enthused by the portfolio's potential. Alongside the exploration drive, of course, non-core asset sale discussions and negotiations, they're continuing. Plenty happening in the background, most of which is commercially sensitive to a certain degree. Andrew, can you give viewers, ECR investors, some comfort and reassurance that the board and management are fully committed?
Well, the board and management are fully committed, and you know, everything we're looking at is either a cost or an opportunity cost. And also everything that we do is really run through the filters, if you like, of business sense and cost-benefit analysis. So at this point in time, we will hold on to the property at Creswick just for the time being, especially as we're about to line up with drilling. I mean, that makes perfect sense because drilling is imminent now with Blue Moon finishing up shortly. And then, of course, depending on the grades and what we get from that drill program, that will influence our thinking as to what we do in terms of the freehold Creswick property. And there's an argument to keep it. There might also be an argument to sell it for cash. We also have to see what happens with the share market and the gold price and, you know, the capital markets in general in terms of where we're trading at as a company. And then, you know, back to North Queensland, we have all of that opportunity there where, you know, we're not going to walk over the top of potentially a world-class discovery, whether it's in tantalum or niobium or lithium. We're not going to walk over the top of that and ignore it as we search for gold. We are going to actually sample it, assess it, and if it's something that we think truly has real competitive prospectivity and value, then they're the filters that we're applying when we look at all of these. So all of the assets have to stand essentially on their own two feet and on their own merits. And really our job is to resolve the good from the bad. So if it has little or no value, we'll drop the ground. If it's good and prospective, we'll focus on that, zoom in, do the work, and see what the value is, and then make a determination on joint ventures, for example, or trade sales or whatever needs to be done.
And you can reassure investors, directors and management have the time, the dedication, the resources to carry this out.
Oh, look, I think the whole executive team is pulling well above its weight in terms of hours per week and then weekends and Sunday phone calls and emails and text messages and communication. So it's pretty much running 24/7. There's not really much downtime with ECR at all. So the board and the executive team are phenomenally responsive. Things are handled very quickly and professionally and turned around very quickly. It's not like something that's important sits there for a week neglected. It might sit there for half an hour and then it's dealt with.
Especially as a final thought, Andrew. ECR spent many years in the exploration phase, drilling across a number of its projects. So ultimately, what a number of investors would like to see is the company taking the next step in terms of an uplift in value inflection. Longer term, what's your strategy?
Strategy is very simple. I mean, look, we have a home advantage here in Australia between Adam over in Victoria and myself here in Perth. And then, you know, Adam's also had good background working professionally in North Queensland at Bujingo, and so have I. Had professional experience working in Queensland, you know, on gold exploration and working elsewhere in Australia. So, look, I think I can't really comment to the complete history of the company because I'm not intimately familiar with, you know, who was here at which time through the history of ECR. But I would say that certainly from my 20 years plus of experience in small companies, I think ECR's got the best portfolio of properties and assets and opportunities I've ever seen in any small company. So I think we've really built a great portfolio. And now we're really in that sort of phase of harvesting the benefits from that with the exploration focus and the skills that Adam and the team have. You know, some of my broader knowledge and background, you know, on a broader scale. And the board's just terrific to work with, fully supportive, very quick to make appropriate decisions. If there's an unclear situation or a difficult decision, you know, we'll take further consideration of that. But it's all very much business focused. You know, exploration is essentially a business. You secure the ground, you have access to the ground, you assess it, you evaluate it, whether it's rock chips or drilling or both. It's good, you keep it. If you're not sure, you know, is there further work that we can do or further value add along strike or at depth? You know, is there still some opportunities we haven't looked at yet? And then if it's good, obviously, you know, the company will very quickly swing into full, you know, full drilling, full exploration. If we get onto a system that we can start to drill a long strike, get consistent hits that are economic, that will be potentially economic and commercial, that would fall into a feasibility study, that'll be where we really zoom in, you know, in the next year or two.
Andrew, Adam, good to see you both. Thanks very much.
Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.